Healed. My guest today is going to be Lucy Sanna, talking about two books that she has written. One is called How to Romance the Woman You Love the Way She Wants You To, and the other, for the women, is How to Romance the Man You Love the Way He Wants You To. But first, we've got to do the morning workout. I've got two people who sent things in. First, Margaret Bell. Margaret Grandstaff Bell sent a cute little short little poem called Discount on Love. This is for Valentine's Day. How sweet. How many folks have you dated who offered you love at half price? Human love never comes at a bargain. True love always comes at a price. Most lovers you find at a discount will come with 4 feet and a tail. If you house them, feed them, and love them, their love for you will never fail. Thanks, Margaret. That was really cute. And I've got 4 little critters at home who agree with that. The next one is by Anonymous. And this person sent in one called Wrapped Candy. Again, another Valentine's Day theme. My covering may be wrinkly, thin, or papery, and the speckles aren't age spots, you see. They're golden highlights with red hearts decorating my skin. Be careful with that protective wrapping, it can tear. After peeling it off, my chocolate heart is there, smooth and silky, tasting of swirling sweetness, sometimes sensuous, sometimes nutty. The precious inside of me is romantic and soft, possibly pink and somewhat sticky, and waiting. Come and unwrap me. Oh, my goodness. Anonymous, whoever you are, your wrapped candy poem has my heart beating. Okay, here comes Lucy Sanna. So, welcome, Lucy Sanna.
Thank you, Linda. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here, Lucy. Okay, you've written a couple of really interesting books, and they are perfect for any time of year, but with Valentine's Day coming up, this is an especially good topic. How to Romance the Woman You Love the Way She Wants You To, and you say the next one.
Okay, it's How to Romance the Man You Love the Way He Wants You To.
So this comes at it from both angles, and you were telling me you've done research. Tell me a little bit about the research
okay.
that you did.
What I did for the first book, How to Romance the Woman You Love the Way She Wants You To, is I worked with a market researcher, and we came up with a 99-question questionnaire, which I put out into national magazines, nationwide magazines, and got hundreds and hundreds of responses from women about what they really wanted. And it was quite eye-opening. For the man's book, basically, what did I know? I don't know anything about how to romance a man, at least I didn't then. And so I worked with a psychiatrist who helped me come up with the 99-question questionnaire we put out in men's magazines nationwide and got just unbelievable responses. I mean, things, they were all anonymous, but things I never would have guessed, and now I know.
And you're sharing it with us. And I want to just go over some of the reviews that have been written. Does everybody remember John Gray, who wrote Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus? He says that you have produced a guide for romancing men by a woman who really understands
them. I know. I loved it when he read the manuscript before it came out, and he sent this to me, and I thought, wow, that's really cool.
And then the San Francisco Examiner says that your books are a camouflaged Molotov cocktail suitable for hurling into the battle of the sexes.
Yes,
oh
yes,
my.
Yes, yes. Well, there are some controversial things, perhaps, but they're very consistent in the responses that we received, so I feel very comfortable putting them out there.
What was one of the controversial discoveries that you made?
Well, for example, communications is very different between men and women. And I'll tell you, one of the things that men and women, when they start early on in a relationship, do these days is they sort of divide up their work half and half. So the man will say, well, I'll do half the housework, I'll help with this, I'll help with that. And then what happens is when children come along, the women take that on. And the men sort of assume that that's the woman's place. This is what I hear from the women. And basically, when a man changes a baby diaper or feeds the baby or whatever, he acts as if he's doing a favor. And the woman has taken all this on in addition to everything she was doing before. And that sort of surprised me. In this day and age, I would think that men would get it more. Now, I have to say, there are men who stay home and take care of children while the women work, but that is not as common as it might be one day.
Yeah, we're still in transition. We're still learning how to do this.
All right.
Yes, we are. So you put together these questionnaires. You sent them to magazines. They were published in magazines.
Yes.
Nationwide.
Yes.
And people responded. You compiled all the results, and
yes.
You came up with your books. And
yes.
And the first one you wrote is How to Romance the Woman You Love.
The way she wants you to. Yes, the woman you love. The way
the
she wants you
love.
To. Right. This is someone you really care
and
about.
Emphasis on the word love.
Right.
And romance.
Right.
So were there any discoveries that you made that were surprising?
Well, what I learned was that the most important thing women want is affirmation. A woman wants to be affirmed for who she is. Every woman is special, and you better know what that specialness is, and you better let her know. It means listening to her ideas, acknowledging her ideas as hers, seeing what it is that's different about the way she acts, maybe even the way she looks, but every woman has her own specialness. And one of the things that basically underlines both these books is, yes, there is a silver bullet. And I'll tell you what that is for romancing both men and women. It is know your partner. So basically what these books are, I've taken from the interviews the ideas that men and women have had in romancing their partners. I've taken the concerns they've had in their own romances and put together a series of exercises. Each is topic-based. So, for example, I have a chapter called Great Dates in Romancing the Woman, and we've got questionnaires about how to find out what kind of great dates your partner would like. I've got a chapter on sex in each of the books. What does your partner want? Well, that gets pretty interesting and a little bit controversial sometimes. So what the basis of the books are is to know your partner. And once you know your partner, for example, with the woman, you will know in what ways she would be most appreciated.
Okay, so I'm looking in How to Romance the Woman You Love, and under Great Dates, it's planning for romance, the romantic dinner, and the romantic getaway. Now, would that be different in the man's book?
Well, this is what a woman wants, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Basically, the questions would not be that different about how to find out what the man wants, but the titles of the chapters are a little bit different. But going about finding the answer is different. One thing that's the same in both the books, I have a chapter in each one on gifts, and that's paying attention to what your partner's looking for, looking at, and that's not difficult to do. I mean, once you realize this is something that will help you in romancing your partner, it becomes very easy. Something else I'll mention that I didn't know about in the romancing the women as well is that for women, romance is cumulative. So you can't, you know, guys, you can't ignore her needs for a month and bring home roses and expect everything to change that night. That's not how it works. It's cumulative. It's every day. In the back of each of the books, I have a chapter that gives 1 minute ways to romance your honey right now. And just do one of those a day, and wow, it's real easy. It means your partner will realize, hey, he cares about me. She cares about me, and that adds up.
That's right, and it's so different for women than it is for men. And, of course, each one of us, each sexes, thinks that the other should automatically know because it's so
yep.
simple. It's just right there. It's so simple.
Yep.
How could he not know?
Right. And one of the things I found was that one of the major reasons why relationships break up, one of the major reasons why there are so many disappointments, and this is not just between men and women, but probably goes into the workplace and at family, is uncommunicated expectations. A woman or a man could be sitting there assuming that his or her partner knows what he or she wants. So if that's not communicated, the person who wants that could feel neglected, unwanted, why didn't he do that for me? And the partner may not even get it because there was no reason for him to think that she needed that or wanted that because it's uncommunicated. Because when you communicate something, someone might think, well, that's not romantic. I had to tell him. Well, you don't have to out and out tell him. Read some of the exercises in the book and you'll find out ways to tell your partner what you want without telling him in words.
There you go. Yes. I'm looking through the book on how to romance the man you love now. And just reading some of the titles here. Meet the warrior in transition, valuing his manhood, accepting his love. And sometimes the way men give love is not the way that women recognize it.
That's exactly right, Linda. You really hit it on the head. That's one of the big differences. One of the things that men complained about most is that they are showing their love all the time. They're doing all these things for their partner, and their partner says, why don't you ever tell me you love me? And they say, I am doing so much. Isn't that more important than telling them? Well, what they are doing is they're going to work every day, and they expect that's going to be taken as love by the partner. They're maybe they're vacuuming the house one week, or maybe they're mowing the lawn, or maybe they're fixing a dishwasher. That's supposed to be showing their love. Now, I will tell you, from a woman's point of view, women are out there working. Women are doing their things. They're fixing things. And they don't think about that as showing love for their partner. They think about, well, it's got to be done, so I do it. And it's very, men and women see romance very differently. And that is one of the key factors. And again, we're talking about uncommunicated expectations.
We'll be back in just a minute with more from Lucy Sanna. Stay tuned. Welcome to Manzanita Voices, the show for people who love the written word. Speaking of love, we have a great Valentine's Day show for you today with my guest, Lucy Sanna. Lucy has written two very thought-provoking and provocative books called How to Romance the Woman You Love the Way She Wants You To and How to Romance the Man You Love the Way He Wants You To. Both were put out by Random House, and they have been a hit. In fact, Playboy magazine reviewed one of the books once, and they said, the book isn't printed on fireproof paper, but it should be. We'll get to Lucy in just a little bit, but first, get your pencils ready, because I have lots of announcements for you. In fact, I have so many announcements, I've decided to start a new part of the show called Datebook, so I can keep you up to date on events in our area that might be of interest to you. So while you're running around scurrying, getting those pencils and paper for your notes, I'm just going to tell you that I apologize for my voice today. I feel like I'm straining to talk, and it's really hard to put much expression in my voice. I was just listening to a replay of something I did, and I thought, oh my gosh, do you sound flat? So I'm going to try to really pump it up there and try to make my voice sound better than it does. And also, I just went to lunch. You know, we broadcast here in Jackson, and I record these shows usually on weekdays for broadcast on Sunday morning. And I just went down the street to a little cafe that I think is pretty new and had just a fabulous lunch. It was so nutritious. It had pork and collard greens and mashed sweet potatoes, and I tell you, it was outstanding, and other people in the restaurant were all also exclaiming at how good their food was. If you live in Jackson, come on down and find that little cafe. And if you don't live in Jackson, come on up. Come on up to Amador County. Come on up to Calaveras County. Patronize some of the businesses here. This little restaurant that I just had lunch at is one of them that you should really discover. I think you'll enjoy it. And this economy is pretty bad, folks. We've got to help each other out. So come on up to the gold country and part with a few coins. You won't be sorry. It's fun up here. Okay, now for date book. I'm sure you've got your pencils and papers ready. So there are so many things to tell you about. The first one is happening today. This show is going to be broadcast on Sunday, February the 12th, 2 days before Valentine's Day. And so today, February the 12th, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Angels Camp, you don't want to miss what the Calaveras County Arts Council is putting on in Angels Camp at the Bret Hart Theater. If you like Irish dancing, you'll want to do this. They're presenting the Golden Bough and McGrath Irish Dancers. Bret Hart Theater. It's part of the Ovation Series, put on by the Calaveras County Arts Council. And you can go online to calaverasarts.org to find out about this concert and all the others. This is not a concert. This is the Irish Dancers. The website has all the information, and since you're just hearing about this right now, you don't have to go to the website to get your tickets. I suggest you go right to the theater, the Bret Hart Theater there on Highway 49 at the high school. 3 p.m., just show up, get your tickets at the door, and pick up a brochure of the Ovations series to see what's coming next, because the Arts Council has put together a wonderful program of entertainment for you. Next, the Central Sierra Arts Council will host the final competition for Tuolumne County Poetry Out Loud at 6:30 in the evening on Wednesday, February 15th at Stage 3 Theater in Sonora at 208 South Green Street. At least 14 high school student competitors from at least 5 local schools will compete. Go on out and hear them do poetry out loud. That should be a lot of fun. And if you're interested in California history and you've always been intrigued by Snowshoe Thompson, you can get to hear Snowshoe Thompson speak, at least an actor who says he's Snowshoe. He's going to be, let me just read this here. Snowshoe Thompson, the legendary mail carrier of the Sierra Nevada Gold Rush era, will visit Calaveras Big Trees State Park at 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, February 19th. Actually, this little article says at 11 o'clock and at 1 o'clock. So I don't know, maybe he's doing it twice. An actor portraying Snowshoe will tell of his exploits, traversing the mountains on wooden skis, and tickets are $20.50. That sounds a little bit high, but it includes lunch. For kids, it's $10.50 for kids under 12. Call this number that I'm going to give you to find out more about it. Call 209-795-3840. To go see Snowshoe Thompson on February 19th, which is today, right? Didn't I say? No, it's next week, next Sunday. Gets confusing when you record in the middle of the week and the show's going to be aired later. Okay, then I want you to check out the Sierra Lodestar. The Sierra Lodestar is a weekly publication that is put out around the county and outside the county, free of charge, and it has columnists who contribute to it regularly, some of whom have been on this show. Scott Thomas Anderson. You're going to be hearing from Scott again next week. He's coming back to talk about his book, The Shadow People. He has a regular column in the Lodestar. Also, so does Antoinette May. You've heard her on this show. And we have people like Sarah Lunford, Mike Taylor, Bonnie Miller. They all do wonderful columns. And if you are interested in California history and in what's going on in the Mother Lode, check out this wonderfully put together weekly publication. Just go to their website, which is their name, SierraLodestar.com, and you can click various places and find different issues and read about them. Scott Anderson has one in there for this week, I believe, on Valentine's Day. I think it says St. Valentine's would be rolling over in his grave. And read articles written by the other people. They're wonderful, and I'm going to have some more of those folks on the show sometime. SierraLodestar.com. And the Sierra Lodestar has a great story in it right now about a movie premiere that's happening very soon at Big Trees State Park, which is just up the road from Angel's Camp. And I'm lucky enough, I think I got the last ticket. I was going to tell you about this so you could go to this movie premiere too, but I checked with them last night, and they are sold out, but they did find one more ticket that I'm buying because I want to go to this thing. It's going to be at 6 p.m. Saturday, February 18th. And the reason I'm telling you about that, even though it's sold out, is that this movie is going to be shown on PBS television stations across the country within this year, within 2012. And you can go to their website and see a trailer for the movie. It's going to be an award-winning film about California state parks and, in particular, what we need to do to save them and why they're important. And, of course, we know they're important to us. Go to eventsbot.com. That is really confusing. I'm going to do it again. CaliforniaForever.eventsbot.com. And you can see a trailer for this beautiful film. The man who wrote and directed it is named David Vassar, and he has been nominated for an Academy Award at another time for some other film. And his wife, Sally Kaplan, she produced the film. It's beautiful. Then, next announcement, Manzanita Writers Press. You've heard of us, I'm sure. We still have room in two great workshops that are going to be given February 25th in San Andreas at the Arts Council Gallery on Main Street. Antoinette May will be giving hands-on advice and instruction on how to make your writing jump off the page in her travel writing workshop. Antoinette, whose biography of Sylvia Brown was on the New York Times bestsellers list and has published other biographies and novels, was also a successful travel writer for many years. Her travel writing workshop will help you improve any writing you're doing, whether you want to describe a setting or if you want to get serious and write travel articles for magazines. She's done it, so she'll tell you how. The class is limited to 10 people, so you'll get personal time with Antoinette. Go to her website again. I'm getting lots of websites, but that's the way things go these days. Her website will tell you all about it and about her herself and things that she has done. AntoinetteMay.com. AntoinetteMay.com. Then the afternoon workshop that we're putting on has another fabulous teacher, Linda Abbott Trapp. She's a writer and a psychologist whose workshop, Writing to Heal, is another that will have meaningful information for any writer. Who hasn't had some tragedy in their lives? We've all had something that turned our world upside down, and we've struggled to overcome the trauma. Maybe we're still struggling. Writing about it can help, and who better to show us how than an accomplished writer who also happens to be a psychologist? So, check these out, and you can call me to reserve your spot in the class. Call me at 209-736-0222. The classes are $85 for both, or $50 for just one. And go to my website, manzamedia.com, for descriptions of the workshops and complete information on this and everything else that I'm telling you about. That means I've got to get home and put these things up on my website. They're not there yet, folks, but they should be by Sunday. If they're not, call me for information. And you also have my email address, linda@manzamedia.com. Email me anytime. Email me with morning workout items. Next, on Saturday, February 18th at 12:30 in Sacramento, come to Zoe Keithley's Story Workshop Writer's Circle at Trinity Cathedral, 27th and Capitol. This writer's class is a once-a-month class. It's how I got my start. Zoe's a good friend of mine. She's still my writing teacher. And the class is held, as I said, at Trinity Cathedral. And that evening, at starting at 5 o'clock, Zoe's group will be reading at Luna's Cafe in Sacramento. That's at 1616 16th Street. Open mic begins at 5. I'll be there reading some of my own work, and featured author that night will be Valerie Fivorante, who is well known in Sacramento for her production of stories on stage. Very quickly, I need to tell you about the Sacramento Poetry Center Spring Literary Lecture Series. It's $20 to attend one, or you can mix and match several different ones for $65. They meet Thursday nights, 7:30 till 9 o'clock. Every Thursday night, contact Tim Call. His phone number is 916-714-5401. Sacramento Poetry Center Spring Literary Lecture Series. Very good. Recommend it highly. Okay, no time for morning workout right now. I'll come back in just a moment with morning workout and then Lucy Sanna. Stay tuned. We're back with Manzanita Voices, and today we're talking with Lucy Sanna on a Valentine's Day topic, but one that really is so important all year long, how to romance the person in your life, what they really want, and how to figure it out, and how to get there. Before we get back with Lucy, though, I want to remind you to send me emails, your morning workout pieces, whatever, at linda@manzamedia.com. And check out the website for archive shows and more information on anything that I've mentioned in Datebook at manzamedia.com. That's my website. Okay, Lucy, we're back.
Hey, Linda. Good to see you again.
You were going to talk about communication.
Communication is so vital in a relationship, and it's often what's missing. We already talked about uncommunicated expectations, but there's a lot more to that. How do you communicate day to day? Now, why is communication between the sexes so complicated? You would think that if two people love each other, they would be able to communicate just fine.
Yeah.
Not so. Actually, communications between the sexes, between men and women, is cross-cultural. Each sex has its own conversational style. Instead of different dialects, men and women have their own genderlects. Moreover, they talk for different reasons. While women communicate to gain intimacy, men communicate to gain status.
Uh-huh.
For women, then, home is the most natural place for communication, but for men, communication at home is not necessary.
Okay. Oh, dear.
Does that sound familiar?
That's why. Okay. Not necessary.
Yeah. For many men, the comfort of home means freedom from having to prove themselves and impress through the verbal display. And they come home so they can get away from all that and just relax and spend quiet time with the woman they love. At last, they're in a situation where talk is not required, and they're free to remain silent. But for women, home is a place where they are free to talk. Finally, I'm home. I can talk. I can let it go.
I don't have to be pretending anymore.
Yeah, I don't have to play the role.
That's right. I'm just me,
and he loves me, so I can say what I feel. And where they feel the greatest need for talk is with those they are closest to.
Oh, there's a conflict right there, isn't it? It's just all set up for us and built into the psyche.
Right. Let me just read something. One of the quotes I got from one of the men who responded. With my first wife, I always got a line of grief every night I walked into the house. My coping mechanism was to come home later and later. Pretty soon, I didn't come home at all.
Oh, my.
Yeah, well, they weren't communicating. They weren't listening to what their partner was saying. Each was just going with his or her own need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if each partner knows what the other one needs, he and she can both recognize what's going on. Now, so for women, sometimes it's best to just let the man have a quiet time, a quiet space, let him feel really relaxed and at home before he hears about how your day was or what problems might be going on at home. For a man, he might listen to the woman. I mean, maybe say, I need a little quiet space. Can we put this off? Can we talk about it in 10 minutes? Do that. But then be available to listen. Schedule a time. Be available to listen when that time comes. Another thing about communication between the sexes that is just so different is that when a woman speaks about problems, she often just wants to talk it through, get it off her chest, let someone know what she's going through. When a man hears this, he thinks she's saying,
Fix it.
Yeah, you got it. And he's frustrated when she won't let him fix it. She doesn't want him to fix it. She wants him to empathize and say, oh, dear, oh, that is a terrible day. Oh, dear. He might even say, what are you going to do about it? But instead he'll say, well, why don't you tell her to blah, 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 blah.
What he should do is sit down and put her on the couch and rub her feet.
Yes. Oh, that would be
good,
Linda.
Give her some sympathy.
Yes, that would be perfect.
Give
oh,
her some
poor
affection.
Dear.
Yeah.
Or, oh, you really handled that well.
Yeah, oh, that's
the
validation,
right?
Affirmation.
That's what she needs.
That's right.
Well, that's just great. You're doing great. But to fix it, unless she says, what would you do? Unless she says that. Now, if a man feels he has an idea about what might be done, staying on your own side of the fence is always a good thing in communication. And what I mean is, always come from the I. It's never you. You should do this. If that were me, I might try blah, blah, blah. So that's another whole school of communication in general in relationships. And where a lot of people have difficulty in communication is when they do jump over to the other side of the fence. You're late. Instead of, how about, I was worried. I was worried because I thought you were going to be here half an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you're driving too fast. Maybe it concerns me that you drive this fast.
Yeah, I'm worried.
So, always from your real perspective. Sure, you're angry, but what's underneath that anger? Okay? That is much easier to accept.
Because when they hear the word you, it's as if you're saying the problem with you is...
It's blaming.
Yes.
It's
accusatory.
Judging.
Yeah.
Yes. And the last thing you want to do to keep a relationship going is to blame and judge. Instead, take it from your side of the fence. I was really disappointed when... You know, that sort of thing. So that... the person can feel your feelings and can take it from your perspective and not be suddenly on the defensive, which you put him or her on the defensive when you say you.
Yes. So if you've got examples like that in the books, I think that would be really helpful for people. How can people get your books?
Well, they could go on my website, which is www.lucysanna.com. Now, that's spelled LucySanna.com. S as in Sam. LucySanna, S as in Sam, ANNA.com. You can order right from there. You can order through an indie publisher right from there. You can order from Amazon there. Or you can order from a local bookstore there. My books are available through any bookstore. They're published by Random House. They've been out for 14 years.
And they are so timely, they'll never be out of date.
I know, they're evergreen. They're actually in eight languages now.
Eight different languages.
Yeah.
Because this is not just an American problem.
No, it's not.
Universal.
They're Indonesian.
Oh, my goodness.
They're
really?
In Chinese.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. Spanish.
Oh.
I have to say the French and Italians haven't come over and said, oh, this American lady knows what she's talking about, so that they're not in French or Italian yet, but they're in a lot of other languages. So and you could go to any bookstore and order them from, they'll order them directly from Random House.
Well, that's great. I think they would be wonderful Valentine's gifts, and it might be a good idea for people out there to buy the book as because they want to give it to their special other person.
Yes.
And
but buy one for yourself as well, so it doesn't look like you're not doing it right.
That's
so
right.
So basically, oh, look,
buy them in the pan.
Let's share this.
Yeah,
and
this is great.
Each person can read it.
And it is good information.
It is.
And reading them together would be a great idea.
There are a number of women who buy the How to Romance the Woman book to see what they're missing.
Yeah, I can see that would happen. Okay, well, I think they're just fabulous, and I think I'm so glad that you came on today to talk about this at Valentine's Day. But there's so much more to Lucy Sanna than just these two wonderful books. Lucy, I know Lucy first and foremost through the Gold Rush Writers Conference.
Yes, Linda.
Yeah, Lucy and her friend Antoinette May.
Mm-hmm.
Originated this. You mm-hmm. created it together, and tell me how did that happen?
Well, actually it was Tony's idea, Antoinette May's idea. I mean, she's up here in McCollum Hill, and she basically is putting McCollum Hill on the map as an author center, which I think
is
just super. And mm-hmm. I was just helping her out. So this will be our seventh year.
Mm-hmm.
We put this on the first weekend of May every year. So this year, I believe that's May 4th and 5th. Yes, May 4th, 5th, and 6th. The 4th, it starts at her lovely Victorian home in McCollum Hill. We have a picnic dinner.
And in the backyard by the pool.
Yeah, backyard by the pool is great. And then all day Saturday, we have workshops. And then on Sunday through about 2 o'clock on Sunday, we have award-winning authors giving the workshops. We have award-winning authors speakers. We have some of the workshops are lecture workshops. Some of the ones are interactive. The ones I give myself often have a lot of exercises in them. And we also have critique workshops. Tony's running a critique workshops for the novel. If people want to bring part of their novel in, she will critique it for you in her workshop. So it's a very special event. It's like nothing else out there. Most events like this most writer events are to meet agents and editors. We focus on the craft of writing. And basically right now, and what a deal.
It is a very good deal.
Yeah, for a day and a half, including the picnic supper and Saturday night dinner
mm-hmm.
and a Sunday brunch, the whole event is $145. I mean, it's really quite amazing.
That's right. You have to reserve before a certain time, though.
That's if you register by March 30th. After that, it goes up to $175. But, I mean, imagine $145 for a writer. We have writers who are just getting started. We have writers who are published authors. And we all get together. We meet each other. Some people find people to have critique writing groups with right there. And it's great. People come from, we've had people as far away as Seattle and Phoenix, Arizona. So you folks that are...
Well, and Tom Johnson comes from New Mexico.
New Mexico,
yeah.
Some years to teach, that's right.
Yes.
He's one of the teachers. We've had students coming from as far as Seattle and Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, we want to get some people from New York State. Come on, New Yorkers.
Yeah, come on.
Pennsylvanians, hop on a plane and come on out to the gold country.
It's so great. And I have to say that the cost of staying here is pretty inexpensive as well if you're from New York.
Yeah, we'll be right back and we'll talk about where you might stay. We have to take a little break, so stay with us. Back with Manzanita Voices and Lucy Sanna. And Lucy, you want to tell me a little bit about the faculty that's going to be at the Gold Rush Writers Conference this year?
Sure, Linda. Thanks for asking. Our featured speaker, and who's also going to be giving a workshop, is Kara Black. She is a San Francisco Library Laureate, 3-time Anthony Award-winning nominee for her mystery series. I'm reading one of her mysteries right now, which takes place in the Left Bank in Paris.
Oh.
She's a mystery, but she's going to be writing about place. She's going to be speaking about place in a workshop. Another one of our featured speakers, our brunch headliner, is Michael David Lucas. He has a new novel that came out. He's a debut novelist called The Oracle of Stamboul, which takes place in Istanbul. And he had a huge write-up in the New York Times, Book Review magazine a couple weeks ago, and he has gotten fabulous reviews. So I can't wait. He's a young guy. I can't wait to hear from him. We also have coming back the head of the English department at San Jose State, who's going to be leading a workshop. We've got a performer, Jillian Bagwell, who's going to be talking about performing your work and reading your work.
Mm.
And we have a number of other people who are new this year. It's a great lineup. We've got 16 workshops to choose from, as well as the major headliners.
And to sign up for the Gold Rush Writers Workshop, they can email Antoinette, or they can go to your website. How do you want
them
to
website, do it? Let's go to the website. The website is www.goldrushwriters.com. That's G-O-L-D-R-U-S-H. Let me start that again, sorry. G-O-L-D-R-U-S-H-W-R-I-T-E-R-S.com. Or you can call Antoinette May at 209-286-1320.
Okay. And I really recommend it highly. I have been to several of these. They're wonderful. And you will get so much out of it if you come. And you might still be able to reserve a room at the historic Leger Hotel where the whole event takes place.
The event takes place. It centers there. We're going to be spreading out into some other places because, you know, we usually have about 50 people. We always hold it down to 50 because we don't want it to get too big. But so the Leger is our basically conference headquarters, and then we have things at the library and some other places as well.
Yes, and if you haven't been to McCallamy Hill, it's just a darling, darling town. You feel like you've stepped back in time.
In the 1840s, right? Gold Rush.
Wonderful. And when you turn off Highway 49 down the hill onto McCallamy Hill's main street, the biggest thing you see ahead is the Leger Hotel. It's
yeah.
Beautiful yellow and white building with wonderful wraparound sidewalk covered like the old-timey buildings, and I always feel like I'm on the Gold Rush set.
And it's haunted.
It's haunted, that's right. I stayed there one time, and they have notebooks in the rooms where guests can write down their experience when they see the ghost. Yeah,
it's fun.
Well, now, also, in 2009, we're going to shift gears here. In 2009, Lucy Sanna received a residency grant to the Vermont Studio Center. I bet that was quite special.
It's fabulous.
Where she focused on finishing her book that she was working on at the time called Jazz Dancing.
Right.
Tell us about that experience and tell us about the book.
Okay. The Vermont Studio Center is the oldest residency in the U.S. for writers and artists. Actually, it's mostly artists. There were 12 of us writers chosen. And I stayed for the month of February, so it was cold. I love the snow. I miss the snow, being in California. We were right on the river where the river was flowing, and there were minks dashing around in the snow, and it was just a delightful place to be sitting in a studio and writing my book. Basically, I finished the first draft there.
Were you under an expectation to produce work while you were there?
No. I was chosen based on the first two chapters of the book. And so, you know, they're there to help writers. And this is my debut novel. So I told them when I was leaving that I had finished the first draft, and everybody was excited about that. It's a wonderful place.
And now the book is coming out soon, isn't it?
Well, the book is currently with an agent. It's looking for an agent. I say it's with an agent because I do have an agent who's interested. So I've got my fingers crossed. She needs to get some okays from some other people at the agency, but that's sort of where it is right now. Writing, I love writing, and then the whole publishing, I started my life as an editor at a publishing company, and I know that the publishing a book is quite a process, and when you go with a commercial publisher. So, it takes time, and you have to be very patient, so I'm already working on the next one, but jazz dancing is... I think it's a fun read.
Tell a little bit about the plot.
Okay. Well, it takes place in present-day San Francisco and in 1920s Paris.
Hmm.
And basically, it takes place in a radio station.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes. My San Francisco protagonist is a host of a jazz radio program called Women in Jazz. Hmm. And right away at the beginning, she loses her job.
Oh,
and she also finds a gold trumpet hidden in her mother's basement. And her mother has just had a stroke and can't explain this. And she's always wondered what her heritage was because she is biracial. So that leads her to 1929 Paris, where she goes back and the reader meets our second protagonist, Sophie, who lives in Paris at the time. And basically, she's there supporting artists and musicians of the time. So we meet a lot of artists and musicians of the time, as well as writers. And one of the musicians is someone who actually existed at the time, but she's not very well known. So the reader sort of learns about her too, which is kind of neat. And she does have a gold trumpet. So that's kind of where that one goes. And of course, there are family interactions on both sides, and all sorts of things that happen that are both romantic and sort of mysterious. And it's just, I think it's a lot of fun.
So, what gave you the idea to write the book?
Oh, that's such a funny question. I wanted to write about 1929's Paris years and years ago, and I tried to do it. I really didn't have anything to write about. I just wrote about Paris, but I didn't have a story. And one evening, I was seated next to a host of a jazz radio show called Women in Jazz. And he said to me, when I told him what I was doing, he said, "You have to write about Valeda Snow." And I said, "Who?" Well, she happens to be this woman that people have forgotten about. She was queen of the trumpet back then. She played with Louis Armstrong, and she ran her own, she had her own girl band, they called it back then, went all over Asia and Europe, etc. So I sort of tracked her down. Valeda Snow. Isn't that odd?
She was American or Parisian?
She's from Tennessee. She was biracial.
And, oh, I see. So this is basically
so that's the connection. Oh, but I shouldn't give it all away.
No.
I should give, but
sure,
that's how I started the book.
Different.
That's what the what started me off on the story. Of course, my characters are all fictional, and Valeda made up her own life anyway. So
now, why did you want to write about that period of time in Paris?
You know, I don't know. I just feel a connection there. I think it would have been a wonderful time to live in. I don't know if you've seen the Woody Allen movie A Midnight in Paris, but there the character goes back to 1920s Paris, which was made long after I started writing my book, of course. But it's sort of that life. It's the energy, the creative energy of the writers and the artists and the musicians back then.
The 20s here in America sounded like they were just fabulous. I love the roaring 20s with the fashions that the women wore. Of course, the fashions came from Paris, right?
Right. Well, one of the reasons why we go to Paris is because my 17-year-old protagonist, Sophie, is trying to get away from a family situation. So
anyway.
So that was your vehicle to get her over there. That's right. Where you wanted to write about.
That's right.
Well, fabulous. Well, I can't wait for the book to come out.
Me neither.
So it's looking for an agent. It has a promising one.
Yes.
But nothing firm yet.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And you worked in the publishing industry, so you know how long and excruciating the process can be.
Yes, it can be a year to publish a book after an agent accepts it. If you go with one of the commercial publishers.
Uh-huh. Now, what about Lucy? What about the fact that the publishing world these days is going through a paradigm shift? There's an earthquake in the publishing industry, and nobody knows quite what the ground rules are and what it's going to be like, because so many people are switching over to e-book publishing and doing it themselves, and then they'd like to go the traditional way. I know if I ever get my book finished, which is doubtful, I would like
I'm sure you will. It's great.
I would like to try the traditional way first. I would like to find an agent who likes my book and wants to sell it to a publisher.
Things are changing. Things are changing quickly. And actually, the commercial publishers are going with e-books as well. So you can get a lot of commercial books on e-books as well. But yes, there are benefits for publishing yourself, and there are benefits for going with a commercial publisher. And we won't get into that right now. We can talk about that in another day, but it's there are huge benefits
on
either side.
It's a huge subject.
It really depends upon your goals and your purpose in publishing.
I see. Well, you know what? Our time is up already. It's gone so fast. I want to thank you, Lucy Sanna, for coming and talking with us today. And I hope your books get another burst of sales.
Yeah,
because they should.
It's
Valentine's Day.
Oh, Linda, thank you so much. It's been so much fun with you.
It's been wonderful. Thank you for coming, Lucy. And for everyone else listening, I hope to see you again next week at the same spot. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Manzanita Voices, a production of the Manzanita Writers Press, an affiliate of the Calaveras County Arts Council.